everybody. You've tuned in to BBS Radio and Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters are people who are making a difference, and that difference is floating right through the collective and helping to change our species. And my guest today is really working on what we hear about a lot, which is the shifting dynamics of femininity in our planet. But she's written a book along with someone else called Listening with Heart, The New Paradigm for Women. So, da-da, right from Toronto, we have Elizabeth Diane. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Well, thanks so much, Veronica. And just that someone else is Andrew Marshall.
Yes.
I know we didn't, I didn't mention yesterday when we had our brief chat, but actually I'm going to start off, when we get started, I'm going to start off with a story about him because he is really the cornerstone of this whole thing.
Great. Well, I want you to, I mentioned him on my show, Radiance by Design. I mentioned you and him and that he was your mentor.
Yes.
And so I'd love you to go ahead and say, like, what's up? What's going on with Listening with Heart, The New Paradigm for Women? What is it you're trying to accomplish? And boy, oh boy, we could talk about the contents of this book for years, right?
Oh, well, that's exciting. We hope so.
And one more thing I want to say to everybody listening, that after about 10 or 15 minutes, you're welcome to call in, but we're going to let Elizabeth do some talking, uninterrupted talking at the beginning. So go ahead and talk about what Andrew Marshall is.
Well, certainly, I will. Our organization is called Listening with Heart 360, and what we're all about in the big global vision, Listening with Heart 360 is all about raising the female consciousness on an international and global scale.
Hmm.
So, because at the moment, as I'm sure you're aware, and you have seen examples all around you, is that the consciousnesses aren't balanced. So right now, the male consciousness is still, it's still kind of outnumbering or out, I don't want to say beating, but there's just not the balance. And the female consciousness is still stuck kind of below that 50%.
And you mean like our mass credibility isn't really there yet?
Exactly. And not necessarily, or credibility is definitely one word, but women, we are still very fragmented. And when you're fragmented and isolated, of course, you can't get as much done as if you were to tune in and work together on a more global level. And a lot of people ask me, they'll say, well, Elizabeth, you know, your co-author is a male and your teacher and best friend is a male. So where does he fit into a shift for women, into raising the female consciousness? And I always start off by telling a story about his mother, Alice O'Ryan Marshall, who the book is dedicated to. And what happened was, when his mother was pregnant with Andrew, she was advised by a whole set of doctors to not go through with the pregnancy. And because there was going to be a lot of health implications, mainly to her. And, but anyway, she decided that no, Andrew was to be part of this world. So she went through with the pregnancy, and afterwards she passed.
She passed right as she...
Yes.
Oh,
after giving birth to Andrew, she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he realized as he grew and developed, he realized that his purpose here was to give back to his mother. And what better way to give back to his mother than try to raise the female consciousness on a global scale.
Wow.
Yes.
And he has a strong affinity for her, even though he hasn't really met her. Huh?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. He often says to me, and when we're doing keynote presentations, we often ask women, what would be the last thing that you would say to your child before you would go?
Mm-hmm.
And so he feels that all of this strength, softness, and love that is mom, and strength and courage that his mom translated to him, is something that he needs to project out into the world. And that's what Listening with Heart 360 is here to do.
Hmm. And is he a psychologist? Or?
He's not a psychologist, but he's definitely what we would call, like yourself. He's a mystic, he's a psychic, he's a philosopher. So he has a knowing about him.
That's great. Oh, mm-hmm. Wonderful. So he's been a good mentor and teacher.
He has taught me absolutely everything that I know about the topic that we're going to be discussing tonight, programming,
mm-hmm.
and its influence and impact on girls and women.
Okay, so first question I want to ask you is, in the programming that is innate within us, or seems to be innate within us, isn't there a divisive, competitive, vying for the male attention thing that just rips us from stem to stern?
Well, that definitely. I mean, the natural pull of physical attraction towards the opposite sex is there. It's never going to disappear. But what we want to introduce to women, and in particular girls, because you know yourself, if we can remember back, and we all know teenage girls, whether we've been mothers of teenage girls, or we've taught them, or coached them, or counseled them.
I remember being one.
And of course, we all remember being one.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, when you experience, when the hormones come into your body, and you experience, and your eyes, your brown eyes lock with those cute blue eyes across the hall,
mm-hmm.
when you experience those warm, fuzzy feelings for the first time, it must be love. Because this is what everyone's been talking about your whole life. I mean, when we talk about love, people, it's like, well, that's the be-all and end-all. And what Andrew and I have just recently written an article called, Is It Really Love? Where we want to give young girls, in particular, an alternative. So when you're having these warm, fuzzy feelings, it very well might be love, because, or it could be what we call the law of attraction, which is not to be confused with the secret's law of attraction, but the law of attraction means that physical, natural attraction to the opposite sex. And because the young girl is feeling these feelings for the very first time, and of course, they're all pleasurable, it's really difficult if you haven't had that talk before about the difference between physical attraction and love. Once she's there, there's no talking her out of it. Until, of course, if the crush or that short-term relationship comes to a close, then she realizes, well, love, true love is, it lasts a much longer time than 2 or 3 months, of course. So, but this is the problem.
I think love is an interesting word because it changes in meaning through life.
Yeah. It's, I would say, next to the word equality, it is the most misinterpreted and distorted word on our planet.
Well, you know, my guides keep saying they're just learning about love, too, because it's an infinite unfoldment.
Love is... And we talk about love in one of the chapters of our book, because this is one of the major tenets of raising the female consciousness, and love will do it. And women seem to be born closer to the strength and softness of love. But unfortunately, because the programming, I'm going to be more specific about the programming just so that your listeners know what we're talking about when we say that word. But because the programming seems to be working out more in our male counterparts' favor, this whole side of there being strength and softness and in mediation and in love, it's been lost. It's being ignored. And we all know the old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it. And so this whole feminine strength, it's being written out.
You mean the strength of our sweetness and our nurturing and our
yes,
caretaking? Because,
yes, and this is in our book where we write, ask any baseball player, and they will tell you, you can have soft hands and still be a heavy hitter.
Right.
And that's what raising the female consciousness is going to do for humanity and the world. It's going to... Go ahead.
I like the way you said the thing about love, the way we've been programmed, the male has the advantage of that. How did you put that? And then I've been sitting thinking about it going, okay,
he
conquers, he wins through it more than we do, I think.
It's not necessarily, and this is the whole thing that's been divisive about the about women progressing in the previous waves of history. It's had to be more combative because the inequality was so much more disparaging. But now that we have definitely made progress, in particular in the workplace, because there's a lot of because there's laws and different barriers set up at work that if you're doing the same job as any colleague, like whether it be another female or a male, there's certain labor laws in place that you can go and talk to your supervisor or the person above them and make sure that everyone's kind of pulling their weight as much as you can. But unfortunately, Veronica, what is not happening is women are not taking that same equality thinking home. So we've progressed to a certain point in the workforce, but our role in society and our role at home, mm-hmm. it hasn't changed that much.
So when you say that, what do you mean that the role at home, we are taking on the lion's share, or that it's not equal distribution of jobs? What does it mean?
Yes.
Or caretaking of the children? A lot of guys are caretaking a lot more than they were.
Well, definitely. And, of course, I don't mean to paint. I'm talking in generalizations. And I'm sure we will have women who call in and say, you know what, my husband, he's helping out. This is a 50-50 deal at home. And that's wonderful, because that's what it's all about. Because if a woman doesn't have a 50-50 situation at home, then this is what Andrew taught me. For every percent that your partner falls below the 50% mark. So, for example, say that it's 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
So you each have time to take care of your family responsibilities, the kids, and you are both going to have time to to work on your interests and hobbies, whatever they may be. However, if it's a 60-40 split, that means that you're going to have to take 10% out of your time and your interests because he's dropping below
the
50%.
Right.
So I say to young girls, if they're engaged or they've been with this and they're in love and they want to take it to the next level, I often say to them, make sure you have the conversation before the marriage takes place and say, listen, I work, you work, and so when we cross, and whether you're moving into apartment or condo, so when we walk in here, it's 50-50. Because if you start off with that mentality, it's going to be a lot easier mm-hmm. than 5 years down the road where it's been 70-30, 80-20 to say, okay, listen, this is not working for me. Things have to shift.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why the younger generation of women, and most women...
And tell me this, are the younger generation of women actually bargaining that way at the beginning?
No. Mm-hmm. No, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as we could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, there are two types of programming that we're referring to and that we introduce, Enlisting with Heart 360 in our first book. And the first chapter, the first type of programming is all the media, advertisers, and big business. So that type of programming is strictly a system designed to make money. And the second type of programming, where a lot of young girls and women were still getting tripped up, is all of the roles that we play out in our lives. So we're hit, it's like a double whammy. There's two types of programming. It's the more of the outside programming, that's there, of course, the magazines, the TV, anything outside of yourself. And then there's all these roles and demands that people place on us.
But... Okay, keep talking. I'm just thinking that,
sure.
Okay, so when you're working with people,
yes.
with women especially and young girls, isn't it a big process of finding out who we really are? It's like a personal fulfillment thing. Isn't that required before we actually can dissemble some of the role?
Well, that's definitely it. Because women, when women come to see us for the first time, and of course Andrew and I will work, we don't work together, so it'll be one or the other. So when I'm when I meet with a woman for the first time, within 5 minutes,
and you're doing a counseling system. Right?
Yes, it's like a life management. It's like a life management session.
Okay, like coaching.
Life coaching, mm-hmm. definitely. And within the first half hour, she will, or I shouldn't say whatever, however long the session is. By the end of it, 9 out of my 10 clients are saying they figured out a lot of the issue. And they are just so relieved that someone has actually listened to them for a full 60 minutes without interrupting them.
Hmm.
And this is the key. Women still aren't getting listened to.
Hmm.
And
Well, that's interesting. I'm going to interrupt you.
Sure.
I mentioned to you that I had talked to John Gray, and he's saying
yes.
some version of this similar, you know, John Gray from Men Are From Mars.
Yes, I know him well.
And he says... the whole thing about women need to be listened to, and his training includes that, you know, that
mm-hmm.
that's a major issue.
It is a major issue, and I tell a lot of women who come to see me who are struggling and who might be wanting to broaden their horizons and maybe expand their careers or change their career or go after a lifelong dream. They'll say to me, you know, and it's not necessarily the significant other, but I'll use that as an example. They'll say, you know, I kind of mentioned this at dinner one night, and it was just kind of like, well, why would you want to do that? Or what's happening? Or what? You know, you're too busy. So a dream, I tell girls and women, when your dream is in its infancy, you have to be really careful to only share it with people who you know are going to support it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would hope if you are in a vibrant, healthy partnership, you would hope that your partner would support a dream. And that what's happening is too much of women's individual and our collective thinking is resonating with this programming. And we're stuck there. We're stuck. And that's why there's so many women who are waking up, and it's becoming earlier, in their mid-30s and 40s and 50s, is saying, who am I?
Yeah, how did I get here?
How did I get here? And women are getting there because the programming is at the front of their thinking.
So what do we do? Where do we start? Let's assume that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do we start undoing the mesmerizing effect of programming?
Well, that's an excellent question, because that most women will come and they'll see us, and the first thing, they'll sit down and they'll be very distraught, and there'll be some tears, and they'll say, you know, I have absolutely no idea how I've gotten here, and I'm 40, and I have no idea who I am. No idea. And that's a very scary place to be.
You bet.
It's very dismantling and disconcerting. So what we do...
It's also like a real betrayal, because you felt you were on this, you know, you were doing the right thing. You were doing the dream. You were getting your home and your business and your, you know, the children and all that.
Well, yes, you were listening to the programming.
Yes.
And the programming
exactly.
makes promises. And the programming says if you follow our way, then you're going to be happy. And this is why it takes women a long time to come to terms with the term or with the phrase, I'm unhappy. Because how many women just in general, you know, when you're sitting around at an activity for your kids or at a lunch or at a dinner, and if it's just a girls' night out, how many women are going to come right out and say, oh, you know what, I'm not happy. Well, do you hear that very often, Veronica?
Oh, no. Well, in my work I do, but no,
yes,
not socially.
Right. No.
But I know as a little kid I always felt terrible, terrible stomach aches when people were a distance from what they were, meaning if they were saying, oh, I'm glad to see you, I'm really mean, I can't stand you, or, you know, I'm really feeling good, or I feel crappy, you know. I just felt sick and crazy, so I'm an intuitive, and part of the reason for that is trying to figure it out. So I know it's, anyway, I'm agreeing with you.
And I think that's a fantastic example that I can take on a larger scale, is that if you were to, and I'm sure you could do this, if you were to tune into the female consciousness as a collective, you would have the stomach ache of the century.
Oh yes.
Because so many women are, we have a phrase in the book in chapter 2, and it says, it's not what women are doing that is taking up our valuable energy. It's who we're not being.
Yes.
And as you were so eloquently describing about how you would just get that stomach ache,
mm-hmm.
that's where women are at.
There's an interesting thing about how, and I want you to talk about mothers and daughters because I know you're just a wealth of knowledge on this, but
well,
how interesting
kind.
It is how, I beg your pardon?
You're very kind. Wealth of knowledge. That's great.
Sometimes I'm very, I'm teasing you. But I was just talking to a caller in Radiance by Design, and she was saying about the programming of her daughter, and I said something that maybe you and I have talked about, is that our daughter people really hate us when we're really victimized or, weak and unable to really be ourselves. I think they really go through periods of actually hating us, and I think it's because it's that futility of being... it's showing them that they can't really be themselves or they're not able to be powerful about themselves. I think it's that kind of role modeling that makes them crazy with us.
Well, that's before, you see, the really neat thing about having daughters is your daughter's going to keep you honest before she gets shut down by the programming.
Yeah,
but as soon
true.
As right, because as soon as the storm hits, then... the way that she's programmed is going to drive you nuts.
So the programming you're talking about is actually hormonally induced.
It has a lot to do with the hormones. And if you were to ask any medical doctor or any naturopath and any textbook or anything that you're going to Google, there's a wealth of information describing the hormones and all of the physical and all of the physical changes that they induce in the body. And as we write in the book, the education systems in North America, the education system in the States, it does a great job teaching girls what's going to happen to them physically. What is not well understood is how their thinking is going to be affected during this time. It's not addressed. And because it's not being, or sorry, I shouldn't say it's not addressed. It's not addressed as well as I think it could be. And because we're not preparing them for the shift in just the chaos that's going to enter their thinking, a lot of them get tripped up at that time.
Well, I love that in your book, you talk a lot about the storm.
Yes, and we talked about the groundbreaking book, Reviving Ophelia.
Yes.
And Mary... how do you pronounce
Pfeiffer.
That? Okay, thank
Pfeiffer.
You.
It even begins with P, but I think it's Pfeiffer.
Yes, it is Pfeiffer. And she called this when adolescent girls hit this time of identity crisis and they don't like themselves, she called it the problem with no name. So Andrew and I decided, well, if you're going to solve a problem, you better give it a name so people can start talking about it. So we called it the storm. And the storm is the time that it takes for a young girl's thinking to catch up to her fully developed female body.
Well, now that's making me think. I'm thinking it might take 30 years.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because a lot of mothers will come and see me and they'll be like, okay, but this is only going to last a couple months, right? And I start to laugh.
Well, it says right in your book is that there's no going back. There's no, you don't even know who they are when they come out of it because they're new now.
Huh? Andrew explained to me that the difference between a young girl pre-puberty and after puberty is as drastic as the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly.
Well, now, when we get to, my guides have said also that for the menopausal woman, it's similar.
Oh, exactly. So you can imagine, Veronica, after, depending on when a woman goes through menopause, she's had at least a minimum 25 to 30 years more life experience than a girl hitting puberty, correct?
Right.
And you talk to a lot of women, and it is the most challenging time of their lives with all that life experience. And yet there's this 13-year-old girl thrown into the chaos of the hormones and the anxiety in her thinking, and it's like, oh, well, we all go through it. You'll make it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. I made it to the other side.
And when I think about the anxiety of her thinking and the actual turmoil and the amount of programming that is just plugged into their senses.
Yes.
All at the same time. You go, oh, my Lord.
Well, and I think it's aptly named because the storm, and this is how we get it over to mothers. And we say, listen, when there's a thunderstorm and it's pouring rain and there's wind and lightning and thunder, and you're trying to communicate this life lesson to your daughter, don't get upset if she's not hanging on to every single one of your words every time, because it's not going to happen. And if you're going to take this personally, it's going to be a long storm for you. In fact, I often tell a lot of mothers, if you're going to get on the roller coaster ride of the storm with your daughter, you're not going to need a hairdresser for the next 5 or 6 years. You've pulled all your hair out.
Or at least it's finally going to be curled, right?
That's right. So it's all about, and the mother-daughter bond, Veronica, it's so very important in raising the female consciousness.
But it's a torturous bond at this time, and I wonder if it's not that tango of the feminine in its various states of, programming and victimization and all of that.
It's a torturous bond. And I'm not disagreeing. That's a very challenging time for both the mother and the daughter. But if mothers start to develop a deeper understanding of the programming and a deeper understanding of their daughter's storm and their own storm, which all women go through, then they're going to be able to pass down this knowledge. That's what's missing in a lot of.
So that includes having worked your way out of your own storm, though.
Yes. Well, who better to pass down the wisdom and the knowledge of this transition from young girl to woman than someone who's been through it herself?
But even in your book, you note that if the woman has come from a distressed home environment, then all systems aren't the same.
No, they're not.
Because that's the other question, is how can we keep passing down this kind of neuroses through the women, you know, and there's the example right there, isn't it?
Well, and not only that, Veronica, but we keep passing it down because this idea of the programming, it's never been brought out into the consciousness yet. It's never been a point of discussion.
That's right.
And so this is the first word, and we call it the language of the new paradigm, programming. And so what we want eventually to start happening is women all across the United States saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'm kind of programmed in that area, but I've worked on this area. That's just going to become a conversation you're going to hear at Starbucks.
Well, I think we're hearing some of it now, aren't we?
I would say we're hearing not necessarily not the way that we would like to see it. No, I don't think to the extent that women are capable of having the discussion that it's taking place. And again, why? Because we're all isolated. We don't know. Like, even look at you and I. We seem to hold a very similar passion when it comes to progressing girls and women.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just met.
Yeah.
So this is what I mean. There has to be, you see, men have a common meeting place. If men are going to, say, men are going to see a football game and they're the fan of the same team, they're best buds for that whole game. Women don't seem to have that same common link. And that's what Listening with Heart 360 wants to be. We want to be that stadium. We want to be that common core, that meeting place where women from all over the world can get together and share their ideas and share what we do have in common.
Why don't we give out the numbers right now and invite callers, just because that's a perfect segue, isn't it?
Excellent.
Yes. I'll just remind you, some of you are new. We haven't heard this before, but you can read them on your screen. The phone-in number is 877-876-5227 from the States, 888-810-8322 from Canada, and the direct line is 530-876-3222. It'd be wonderful if you called in and talked about programming issues or questioned Elizabeth about programming issues and programming the feminine.
And the nice thing, ladies, if you're thinking about calling in...
Or gentlemen,
thank you, Veronica.
I know a lot of men are really trying hard on this subject. Right?
Yes, they are, and my co-author being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we have 360 degrees in our book title and in the organization's name is because 360 means exactly that. So whatever issue you may be struggling with, Listening with Heart is going to be able to help you get past that stuck place and on to your first step.
I thought it meant full circle.
Well, it definitely, I mean, it has a multitude of meanings. But if you're it's like if you're having a problem and you're in the center of a circle, if you put yourself in that center of a circle, then there's an infinite number of different ways that you can solve your problem, not just a pat answer. And that's what the major side effect of the programming is, the question. I'm sure you've heard a lot of women in your experience, Veronica, say, well, there's got to be something wrong with me. This isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that the shift in thinking that can start to take place in girls and women is there's nothing wrong with me. Maybe it's the programming that I'm following that isn't working.
And I agree with you. And what I'm really interested in is how to, and I played around with this a little bit on my last show. Oh, somebody's calling in. Good.
Oh, excellent.
Is how to access, how to become aware of the programming that we're tapping or running at any given time. Mm-hmm. But we have a caller, and I'm delighted. I'm sure you are, too.
I am.
You're
excellent.
On the air.
This is Kathy from Bellingham.
Okay.
I would like your guest to speak about older women, both at home and in the workforce. It seems how they relate to younger women in the workforce. There seems to be something that's not quite compatible here, where women, ageism and women. I would like to have you speak on that.
Kathy, that is just such a great point. And Veronica and I were touching on it briefly in the call that we had to prepare for the show yesterday.
Yeah, we should have taped that call, too, because that was very good.
Yeah. But, Kathy, that is an excellent question, and it speaks to the point that we are still fragmented. And it also speaks to the point, the way that younger women view older women. And unfortunately, you've got to cut the younger girls some slack, because they are being they're casualties of the programming in that area. Because as we all know, if you're not 25 and younger, the programming basically says that you're not counting.
Mm.
And so the young girls pick up on that. But also, Kathy, there's also another important point to be made here. As the mother-daughter bond comes more to the forefront, younger girls, and if they've had that strong mother, and it doesn't necessarily have to be their biological mother, it can be any other female figure in their life that's been a strong, positive influence, they're going to start to realize that, wow, there's wisdom and strength in this person, in that woman, and I'm going to respect that.
That's if they've broken the bondage of programming, right?
Yes. That's if they've had somebody in their life, an older woman in their life, who has come to terms with her own programming and then has been able to be a signpost to this young girl throughout the storm. Now, Kathy, another thing to keep in mind is some of those younger employees, they could be in the middle of their own storm themselves. Depending, I mean, if they're in their early to mid-20s, a lot of women are still in there. And then, of course, if you throw in another divorce, that's another storm. So the key,
but there's that huge program about you have to be young and beautiful.
Yeah, but I suspect that there's something else afoot, and that is generational. And then also,
yes,
it's that fear of, ooh, I'm going to be like that when I get older.
I think that's a big deal.
And there's that a real rejection of age. It's almost like ageism, because you don't have healthy models. You have the hag, the crone, and life is over at 30. And so it's kind of like there's a real eclipse going on here with women, because being young and beautiful is the only thing our society values.
Well, I think that is an excellent point. And Kathy, can I ask you a question? Have you sound like you're extremely articulate and very open-minded. Have you ever sat down and talked to some of these younger women?
In some cases, yes.
Okay. Because I think this is where the raising of the consciousness starts. It starts in the workplace, and it starts with women of all different generations and ages sitting around and discussing. Not in a roundtable discussion of blame, but in a discussion of, okay, you know what? We all have something in common. We all, and if you can all come to a common consensus, because a lot of women can when you say this point, do we want to make the road a little better and easier for the younger generation coming up behind us? And you sound like you're that type
of
person.
Oh, well, look at this. You know, if you have older women deny getting older, facelifts, clothes,
yes,
hair coloring, and I think, what kind of role model is that to young women?
I think she's right. I think Elizabeth's right in the sense that without talking about some of these issues in a multi-generational way, I don't think there's any way through that, you know?
Well, you see,
yeah.
Kathy, let me throw this out at you, too. Andrew and I, in our first chapter, we have this paragraph, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't have it memorized, but it rolls around something that there was a couple years ago on Oprah, because I know, like, all of the world watches Oprah, so she's a great universal example to use. But one day, she had a woman on who had no problem admitting to a whole room of other mothers that she loved her husband more than her kid, more than her children.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, you could just, you know what, Veronica, you would have had to run out because your stomach would have been aching so much, all of the judgment going on, right? But, you see, the thing is, it brought to the forefront what has happened to the female consciousness. What we want to get out to girls and women, that the female consciousness is so all-encompassing and far-reaching, but yet we're still expecting all women to think the same way and have the same priorities as other women. And when we do that, we polarize. And that's where the fragmentation is. That now, and the reason why, and this is...
I mean,
the
it was the programming that would expect that, though.
Oh, yeah, all women in there who were judging that other woman
that
would
other
say,
choice,
oh, well, I
yes.
love my kids more. Well, that's why women, we have this capacity for 360-degree thinking.
We do, don't we? Yes.
But when we blame and when we say that our expectations of other women, when that woman isn't fitting our certain expectations, she must be wrong,
mm-hmm.
we're not only limiting ourselves on an individual scale, but we're limiting the consciousness as a whole.
It's also represented.
I think women are intimidated by other women, especially successful
yes.
women,
yes.
articulate women, beautiful women, young women, older professional women.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like we're genetically or societally set up to be competitive. I don't know what the price is, maybe in marriage, but there's an inherent
right.
price somewhere. And so it's difficult to come together when it's your competitive foe.
I agree with you 100%.
Yes.
100%, yeah.
Well, that's the biggest, and that's the biggest challenge that lies ahead. Is
for who?
For the,
all of us.
For future generations of women and for the leaders of this next wave of new thinkers for women. Because
the younger women, their role model is Madonna. For a lot of young women, it is relentless, if not seductive, Victoria's Secret, on and on and on and on,
right,
where the sexuality is now going down where you have 11-year-olds
who are menstruating earlier, right?
And having sex earlier, but it's sex. It has nothing to do. They're just a female object, and they're not developing in a childhood as to their femininity. It's a sexuality, not femininity.
Well, and you know what? You cannot argue that point. You can't argue that point, and you put that. You see,
what do you mean? I can't argue that
point? I can't argue that point. That the younger girls are sexualized extremely early. But
it's meaning what? That you're agreeing that that's part of our society, or it's not?
No. I'm not. If I had my druthers, I would shut down all of those articles and all of those things that were making the young
and
girls.
You can't, because it's censorship, which is stupid.
Of course. But
which means, what are you doing to counteract it?
What I'm doing to counteract it is I don't want to go around with blame. I want to start looking for solutions to it.
Which would be?
The solution to the early sexualization is that we have to get alternatives out into society.
Which would be an alternative?
Well, an alternative would be try to get women and any or men or anyone else thinking about different role models, different shows, different music.
And what would those be?
Well, for example, right now, Andrew and I are working on an animated character called Asia, and she's going to be the new hero for the young girls and raising the female consciousness. So that's one idea.
I want to say something, too, about your book, which has a DNA strand, DNA picture on the front. I like that a lot.
Yes.
Implying that we could change a lot of that. I agree with you, Kathy. There's so much programming coming at us from the merchandising and all of that. I don't know why we don't have stoppers on some of that. It's because
I do too. I think it was who's that woman who does the model show?
Tyra Banks.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she had all these teenagers on the show when they first had sex and ridiculous ages and kind of like mindless. And not only do they have disease-laden vaginally as well as is in their mouth. I mean, so kind of like, and they're so disconnected from anything. All they really wanted was love.
I think that we're going back to how you deprogram women. I think that would be a really interesting place
to go
from here.
Well, it's funny the way that you say that is. It's a deprogramming process. See, when a woman.
But it's even worse than that. When you have that on a show, a national show, it's entertainment.
I know, Kathy, but you see, because this new shift in thinking is trying to focus on what is right with things rather than what is wrong, Tyra Banks also does a huge amount of work for young girls and women.
I know she doesn't. She doesn't try to be skinny and all that.
And
does she?
I understand what you're saying about those shows. Before I got into this line of work, I taught, coached, and counseled teenage girls for 15 years. So I know the negative impact that this type of thing is having on their thinking. But at the same time, I also know that the blame game, it hasn't changed anything. And so this is what this new movement is all about. It's all about trying to get alternatives out there for these girls. And the more that one person does it, someone's going to look at our book and go, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. Why don't I try this? And then they're going to tell two friends. You know how you get a secret out? You tell women.
what I find sort of disconcerting is I work with 12 to actually 80-year-old women, and this was years and years ago, and covered some of these subjects, and now it's so blatant it's almost mainstream.
Yes.
And there are a bazillion choices out there. I mean, you're inundated every day on the Internet with choices.
Yes.
But the mass media, as you said, programming, has usurped that kind of effort.
But I'd like to say something. I'd like to add something here, which is, and then I think we should say goodbye, Kathy, because we want to see if we can get at least one more caller. But one of the things is when women start to know, when people start to know more of who they are, I don't think they would follow the programming quite as, robot-like or as, you know, I don't think we would be so conscripted. If I know who I am not as conscripted by what I see coming at me. I'm like Kathy, I'm just horrified.
And not only that, Veronica, because that's an excellent point, but I want to stress, when you're young, and the thing is about this Asia character that Andrew and I, to get out into movie form, the key is the younger that girls are introduced to an alternative to the programming, because right now, wouldn't you agree that the programming is the only game in town?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it starts, I mean, look what they're wearing at 2 and 3. Talk about Madonna. It's
ridiculous. If the programming has a monopoly on the female consciousness, then the most positive way to start is to give the young girls an alternative. And that's where it's going to start. And believe me, once one positive attracts positive, and you wait to see what the younger generation is going to do with this idea. It's going to be incredible.
And there are, I have to say, and you probably know a lot about this, but I know young women who are way beyond this being programmed. I don't know tons of them, but I meet them. And they're like a new species coming to town and going, I don't do it that way, you know. And so I think there is a lot of hope.
And that's what it's all about. Because
do you do workshops and do you do gatherings?
Yes, we do. We do. Our most popular is the mother-daughter nights, where we introduce both the mother and the daughter to the storm and the programming and the situation wheel, how they can sit and work out some of their differences, close the gap. But we also do just general keynote presentations about how to shift your thinking along the more positive vein. Because the programming just has a lot of women's thinking limited at the moment. But not for too much longer, though.
What's your website? How can people tune in, because I go, you know, I'd like to just keep checking in and getting some new hits.
Excellent, yes. Well, we're right now, we're just, Andrew's working on, in the next 5 or 6 months, the website's getting an overhaul, but you can go www.listeningwithheart.com, and you can order the book directly from our site, and we will personally autograph it for you and send it right out to you.
And I have to say that I haven't referred as much to the book as I had planned to do, because I think the conversation takes itself. I want to say it's a wonderfully easy read, not simplistic without any content, but it's gripping. It takes you right through, and I found it absolutely, poignant as far as touching places in me that are still, of course, I'm 100 years old now. Still kind of
not quite, Veronica.
But I think of programming. See, I'm an energy worker, an energy healer sort of person, and I think of programming as kind of being frozen in time, where you keep running the same energy, you know. So I just like to say that there is some activation energy in this book as well.
Oh, well, that's excellent. Well, I've never had anyone tell us that our book had activation energy yet. That's a new one.
Well, I like to be different, so I'm breaking your programming, girl.
And I just, if I may, you know, you mentioned that it's an easy read, and that is by design.
Good. Yeah,
because,
I like that.
Because we knew that this was a message that was going to get out to the masses eventually.
And also because you're very, you read this stuff, and this is stuff that stresses the heck out of us. And
well,
if you can read it easily, it helps a lot.
Yes. It's, you know what, a lot of women, they've written in and they've said, you know, it's just common sense. And of course, we'll write back and say, yes, but when the programming is at the front of your thinking, common sense no longer makes sense. So when women read it, they're, that intuitive quality, that natural wisdom that we all come here with, it's brought to the forefront, and they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, I remember.
Hmm.
Before the programming shuts you down.
I think that spinning these circles, mother and daughter, or just women's circles all over the place, is a really, really in order.
I believe so. And I think if you start with the intention and the positive idea that women can come together in a more concrete and collaborative way, then it's going to happen.
I really love the idea. Now, I'm going to have to say goodbye, not because we're running out of things to say. We're just running out of minutes. But, it's www.listeningwithheart.com. And there, you're going to, do you list, like, where it is you're going to be presenting? And
yeah, we have, like, right now we're kind of in the middle of working on a book just for teens.
Mm-hmm.
But as the world, like, this is, the book just came out in May.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole next 2 or 3 years is all about getting this message out all across America.
Excellent. And we're going to hear about Asia popping into the...
You are going to hear about Asia. She is going to be as popular as the Disney princesses, Veronica.
You go, girl.
Yeah,
I'm holding
the
line on that. Well, I'm so grateful that we had this time together. I feel...
it was delightful.
I feel it's only the beginning, A, and B, I feel a lot more positive because I feel like the rising of the feminine in the collective is sometimes very, very frustrating. It's got like we've got a lot of cement on our boots still. You know, we're not rising as well as we might like to do.
Well, that's all about to change.
You got it. We're with you.
All right, Veronica. Thank you so much. You are such a pleasure to talk to, and I really appreciate the opportunity of being on the show and letting us start to get the message out about what we're doing. Thank you so very much.
Good work, and blessings to Andrew as well.
I will let him know.
All right.
Take care. Bye now.
Thank you. And now for everyone, and one of the things about that we were talking about today is that deep, passionate, and spiritual connection that all of humanity shares. And I really am conscious as we think about women, how we've undercut each other, how we were so reliant on having, for example, the male to support us. So then we kind of chipped at each other's lives. And we've done so much stuff through the centuries. It's been our style of manipulating or whatever. So let's all just take a minute and send love, spirit flow through our body minds, one to the other, to connect us and send love and respect and compassion. Let's just send those feelings and thoughts rippling through the feminine of the planet. And it's interesting because my guides have said, even when the Taliban thing was going really strongly, they've said, send light to the women, send light. I know it's still going, but this was a pretty severe period. And the guides were very clear, send, bless the woman here and here. These two women are trying to change what's going on in the whole pattern. And not only in the Taliban thing, there were several other issues. And I just want to remind us that we're just so amazing, too, we women. We've done a lot of work. I know men who really honor us for that. We often do it behind the scenes, and we nurture the power that grows, right? So let's do it together, and let's try to become program-free or support each other to step out of the program. It's like stepping out of a labyrinth in a way, but we can do it. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying my next week's guest is going to be announced. And if you'd like to be on my mailing list, it's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle. If you'd like a session with me, I do a lot of healing work, talk about something that I think is crucial to women and everybody else, the purpose of your journey. What are you learning here? If we were all on our fulfillment purpose and drive, that whole issue of competition would be different, wouldn't it? Because you're not competing for something out there. You're working toward the revelation of something deep within, and there's such a light in that, isn't there? So thank you so much for your calls, and I'll see some of you on Thursday night when I'm on Jackie Salvitti's show, ET Healing and Exploration in Consciousness, where we talk to the team and ask them wonderful questions. And see you next week on Radiance by Design and Paradigm Shifters Tuesday on wonderful BBS Radio. Much love to all of you. Let's just send that all over the world. Many blessings.